want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 196 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on March 23rd, 2011. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W. Four.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, Talkcast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. We have a voicemail line, and that number is 206-350-3GPS. And we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. This episode is sponsored by Cache Advance. See cache-advance.com for all of your caching needs. Welcome back, Daryl. It's just me and you again here tonight. We don't have any Montu, but welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, he's... getting some of that stuff wrapped up finally that he's been having, you know, lingering over him for the last few weeks. So, you know, I'm happy for him that he's finally getting some of that stuff taken care of, because I know how that stuff dragging on can just be such a pain.
Yeah, no kidding. Well,
yeah, I don't know what you were up to this weekend, but I didn't get any caching in, just lots of talk about caching, lots of podcasting, and actually you and I and... Art and Dre sat down and had a nice conversation on Sunday.
Yeah, we did. And that's actually going to be a really good episode. I'm looking forward to hearing that in the feed.
Yeah, what we're talking about is Cachers of the Roundtable. And that's going to be coming out, I think it's next Thursday, or is it the Thursday? No, it's the Thursday after that. So it's still going to be a couple of weeks. We got this one in the can a little early.
Well, that's better doing it early than late.
Yeah, and this is that time of year when it just starts getting kind of nice out sometimes, and you never know what's going on. And, you know, everyone starts getting more and more things on the schedule. So this was the what looked like the only weekend we were going to be able to get to record in March for our April episode.
Well, yeah, you know, and we did, and it was a really good episode. So look forward to that, hearing that in the feed.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting some good feedback on that one.
You know what, though? It's funny because for me, the same thing happened. You know, I've just done a lot of podcasts lately and not a lot of geocaching. I was looking this today at my geocaching account and I've got nothing for the last 30 days. And that's never a good feeling. I hate that. So I really need to get out and do some caching.
Yeah, you always hate looking at that page when you first get to your account page and there's nothing there.
Yeah, it's I have one like note for a travel bug, but that's it.
Oh, hey, well, hey, at least you have some geocache activity, even if it's not a find.
True.
It's not a blank page.
That is true. And, you know, I'm about ready to hit publish on that cache that I was talking about last week. So, you know, at least there'll be something that I've been doing geocaching related.
Oh, that will be nice, though.
Yeah, well, speaking of geocaching related stuff, the back half had a really good question here. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
Geocaching question of the day. The Bad Cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Have you ever found 100 or more geocaches in a single day? 38% of the intrepid geocachers that replied said yes, they have found 100 or more geocaches in a single day. So tell me, have you found at least 100 geocaches in a single day? You want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, Daryl, tonight's conversation comes from one of our listeners, Network Cacher's email that he sent in a few weeks ago. And in the email, he wrote, "There's a feedback item that has been rapidly climbing in the list of accepted items that Groundspeak is considering, and it's called Detail Profile with a Cache Logs for GC Friends Only. This item is now at the top 10 accepted items list with 472 votes. Elias has posted that this item is under consideration, and that there are any geocachers who are many geocachers who are concerned about privacy and the amount of information that can be gleaned from all of the logs and notes that are posted on geocaching.com. This feedback item proposes to make most cache logs private by default, visible only to cache owners and GC friends. There are other elements to this request as well, such as privacy controls for the new stats page. And one of the most recent show, because, you know, and we were talking about this in one of the recent shows when Montu was talking about the concerns for security on the statistic page, being able to see, you know, maybe where you live. So we decided to do a show a little bit on privacy and how it affects us as geocachers. So, and actually, I've just got word now that votes is now at 511 votes as opposed to the 472 that I read about earlier in the email. So, you know, that's a very, very good question. I never really thought about that, Daryl. The information that can be gleaned from that, because I guess what are some of the things we have to be concerned about here?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that I saw right off the bat with the caching profiles and with, the caching in general that did kind of concern me. And actually, Network Cacher had a few good points that we should probably touch on. But one of my big things with the way I had been caching a long time ago, before the iPhone app or, you know, Field Notes or any of that stuff, was what I ended up doing for my notes was just, you know, for my logs actually, is I would just log in through the cell phone and through the mobile page, go and post a quick note that I found the cache. Well, that really scared me because that's, you know, right then and there I'm posting that I'm out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that you really should be probably a little more aware of than the way we were doing. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like posting the notes immediately. But maybe we should just start going by the talking points he has and kind of going over those one by one. And, you know, we can go into some other stuff later if we have some time, because a lot of this stuff doesn't apply just to geocaching.
No, definitely not. And, you know, I want to remind people who are listening to us live, 724-444-7444. Our podcast ID is 7525. If you want to get in our conversation tonight, we'd love to hear from you guys. Press the *8 on your keypad to request to talk, and we'll get you on the show tonight. Now, the first thing that Network Cacher brought up was, are you concerned about privacy of the data generated by your geocaching activities? And you brought up a good point, Daryl. You know, when you're out doing things and you're posting live notes, you can obviously tell kind of where you're at. And this kind of goes back to the same thing we've talked about a few weeks ago with the GoWalla and all of the other things like Foursquare. You know, you're going to be able to tell where you're at when you're at. You know, maybe not necessarily, I mean, people probably aren't going to want to, that are going to want to maybe mug you or do harm to you physically with your geocaching activities. You probably won't be able to do much damage because, you know, by the time you post a note for the cache that you found it, you're usually on to your next cache. But again, they can tell that if you're posting live notes that you're not at your home or you're not somewhere. So they could go to your house, they could hit your house and rob your house, things like that. You know, for me, I guess I haven't really thought about this until Network Cacher brought this up as far as, you know, my logs, because I don't post live logs, and I guess I don't normally post things in my logs that would really concern me, because I guess I mostly just post like, hey, I found this cache and the time and the date, you know, but usually, again, I do that through the field notes, so it's not live. You know, I guess if people wanted to follow me and kind of maybe plot out where I go, I guess that they could do that, you know, if they wanted to do the profiling type of a thing on me. But, you know, I guess I wasn't really concerned about that. The things that I guess maybe concern me a little bit more are the things like pictures. And this is things that I post, you know, and this is my choice, not necessarily GroundSpeak's, but I sometimes post pictures of my kids and things like that. I don't know if I necessarily want people to know what my kids look like. You know, I've tried to be fairly careful on my online activities posting things that involve more than just me, you know, maybe my kids and my wife, because I don't necessarily want a lot of people to get that information. But I guess, you know, I didn't really think about a whole lot about this on, you know, as far as am I concerned about the data generated, you know, by my caching, because I guess, you know, for me, concerned, my statistics page is one generated from GSAC, and I've got, you know, the closest cache, I, you know, where it tells you what your closest cache that you hit is, it tells me that it's my closest cache, but it doesn't tell me what it tells me how far it is from my house, but it doesn't tell me what that cache is or, you know, other people. So really, I guess a whole lot of people can't really glean a whole lot of from me. I would think, you know, I could be proven wrong, and I have been before, because I know, you know, sometimes I just don't think about the security measures that are involved. So what are you guys' thoughts on the 724-444-7444? Our Talkcast ID is 7525. Now, again, press star 8. If you're on, you're listening to this as your podcast, go ahead and give us a call on our voicemail. So that, you know, Daryl, are you concerned about these things? I mean, obviously you talked about not posting live notes anymore, but are you concerned about this?
Yeah, well, the big thing that I've really been aware of is that timeliness of the logs. Yeah, if I'm in Chicago, for instance, and I live out here in Detroit, and I post logs even that night from the hotel room, it'd be pretty easy for someone to say, hey, you know, he's not going to be back until tomorrow, so, you know, let's go and raid the house. Or, you know, maybe someone has an issue with me and they could stalk me or whatever, you know, not necessarily me, but for anyone. So there is that timeliness issue, which is solved by doing field notes and then posting the field notes later when you're at home. Plus, then you can go and edit. So it's kind of nice to have the field notes there, you know, at the computer where you can actually go and spend some time with it. You know, yeah, I love the option to, you know, do the things like the photos right from the iPhone app and send it right to the website, so it's all nice and done. But, you know, I really, really, really don't like posting those live.
Now,
of course,
we
mentioned earlier, there's also that proximity stuff that's generated from the stats, and that can be pretty dangerous too, because that will tell anyone where your home is.
Well, I guess it goes back to, you know, the proximity stuff, because depending on what you're using to generate your stats, and I know that the GSAC macro, and I think the online one for that is automatically generated from geocaching, doesn't necessarily list the GC that's closest to your home, the number actually. So really, it'd be hard to deduct from the information that you have which is the closest. Now, I mean, I suppose if you did like the whole like plotting, like with the, if you were a statistics generator, you know, like if you grabbed and like grabbed all of the caches that you did and kind of worked out the, like, kind of like police profiling, same type of thing with this, you could probably find out where I live because of what caches I hit where and, you know, amount of where my radial is there. But I don't think that I'm really concerned about that, you know. And I guess for me, the only time that I think live logging is really handy is when you're doing like a first to find or a travel bug pick up and drop. Cause that way people looking for the cache, same cache, you going to be doing cache hunting and things like that, will know that you've already found the cache. They don't need to rush out and get it. Things like that.
Well, and as we mentioned in the last show when we were talking about some of these safety concerns, when you're doing your field notes or whatever and you're posting to Twitter or to Facebook, yeah, that's a big security hole. Even if you're not posting your logs, if you're logging your field notes and it's posting to Twitter and Facebook live right then, well, that's even worse probably than doing the logs to GC.com, because those are things that people are more conditioned, who are interested in that, into looking for. And we've heard a number of stories now about Twitter and Facebook thefts.
Well, and this is Mundu in our chat room has brought this up too. You know, although it is really easy to find an address if you're listed in the phone book. I mean, you know, for me, it probably would be pretty easy to figure out what my information is, you know, what my real name is based on my caching name. I mean, granted, that's probably for me because I've got a lot of stuff in Google, you know, based on my Twitter and stuff like that. But all that information, all I need to do is figure out, you know, what my Twitter handle is or something like that. And they can figure out my name and figure out the location of my town. And they could find a lot of information for me. And not even necessarily stuff that's just on geocaching.com, but stuff that's easily gleaned from public records and things like that.
Oh, absolutely. And all it takes is to have this nice electronic trail for them to find out that you're not home on Saturdays, and that gives them a good window, or you're out usually caching on Sundays. So even that legacy data can be enough for the people who really want to use it.
Yeah,
there's nothing that you can really do to protect yourself from it, but you do need to be aware of it. And doing things like postponing that makes that information a little bit less valuable. Though I have heard of some people who will go and like randomize the dates of their logs so that there's no clear pattern to when they're going out and their logs aren't actually for the day when they found the cache. You know, sometimes they'll post them later, sometimes they'll post them earlier so that it's not apparent when they go out on their caching days.
Well, and the bad cop brings up a good point here too, is do any of the cachers here have a hide on your own property? I mean, because that, I mean, a lot of times is really easy to find out where you live then, because if you look through, you know, your owned caches and the cache says on my property, you know, things like that, it's going to be really easy to find out where you live.
Yeah, that is a good point. However, again, it's a little bit more obscure. Chances are the people who are going to be trying to track you down aren't going to be cachers, and they're not going to be specifically going after cachers. It's going to be that paper trail. However, anytime you have that electronic paper trail, it's a risk.
Now, this brings up a good point, though. You talked about randomizing your data in your logs, or randomizing your logs. Should all of your logs on geocaching.com be visible to everybody? Or should there be a type of a, like for Facebook, you can set it down to where only your friends can see your status and things like that. Should Groundspeak do that with your geocaching logs? I mean, obviously you'd see, and how does this work? Is it, you know, would we have it so you could see that Xpunk X and Jules found this cache, but my actual log would be hidden? Or is actually the finding, you know, the whole finding block going to be hidden? Because, you know, I could see where some people would like to have this information hidden, but at the same point, you know, I'm in control over what I put in my log. And so if I don't want to reveal any information about me, I don't need to reveal the information. But at the same time, I really like to look through the logs, not to gain information about other cachers, but to gain other information about when the cache is found, what was the issues with the cache, maybe that, you know, someone said, this is a really bad area, don't do this cache at night, things like that. If all that's hidden, I'm not going to know all of that information, and it's kind of nice to be able to see the information on, you know, people who have found the log before or people who are leaving notes, things like that. What are your thoughts on this, guys?
Well, for me, I really don't want to see the logs go invisible. I want to see all the logs, but I do see a very significant value in the option to hide the name. And maybe an option that's, instead of doing just the encrypted like we can do right now with those, have a hidden text. So only friends and the cache owner can see your hidden text, you know, in the brackets, but still open it up for everyone. But my big thing is really, if anything, I would love to see the option to hide the finder name or the logger's name in that listing, so that only your friends could see it.
And I guess that does solve the issue that I was saying there, because if you hide the name, you still get the data and the information so that that way you know what's going on with the cache, but you don't necessarily know which cacher found it. But then again, I guess that wouldn't be an issue. I guess it'd be interesting to see where this goes. And I guess, at the same time too, would you not sign the physical log that's there, like the backup brings, when you go and find it, do you not sign the physical log, or do you not hide caches? Because that information then will be posted there. It's not just gonna be a random hidden cacher that hid this cache. It's gonna be, Xpunk X and Jules. Or, as I go out and find it, would I not sign the physical log? I mean, because if you send the physical log, you're gonna see that Xpunk X and Jules found this cache. So those are all questions. I mean, I guess you have to weigh out what this means to you. I mean, again, if you don't want people to know who you are, really, then don't sign it.
Unfortunately, you have to sign the physical log according to GC's guidelines. If you don't, then you're not allowed to claim the find.
Well, and I guess, but I guess this goes back also to the same point, is, you're not, most people aren't going to be signing up with a Groundspeak account with their own name. So if you sign the physical log as Xpunk X and Jules, I mean, only the people that are there physically at that cache are going to see it, not people from around the world. So it would take a little bit more work to go and find out more information on you, because you're going to actually have to be physically at that cache, not just being a good data seeker from the website.
Yeah, now the thing, though, too, of signing the physical log is that's not the kind of information that most people who are looking to do thefts or whatever are going to be going and looking for. They want something that's going to be a quicker, easier find. You know, they're not going to go hiking through the woods to do a log and find out, oh, well, he did this earlier today. Well, by the time they get to your place, you might be there, and that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for something more immediate generally.
Yeah, and now this brings up a good question too, is has the information that you've posted on geocaching.com or any of the other listing sites been used against you by another cacher? I don't know that I can say that it has been used against me. Have you come across this, Daryl?
I can't recall anyone ever using my logs against me, but however, I've heard about it, and as far as I know, no one's done it, but they might have done it behind my back.
Yeah, you know, same here. You know, I can't say that I've been affected by it that I know of, but again, behind my back, may have. So, do you think that Groundspeak and other listing sites should be able or should provide more granular privacy controls on who sees your activity? I mean, this comes down to the fact of, you know, I guess for me, it becomes being responsible with what you put in your cache logs versus, you know, I guess there's some responsibility to your online where I goes, you know, your online what you're doing. Not where I go as in the game, but like what you're doing. There's some, you know, responsibility for yourself to not post data that you don't want seen. You know, that's always been my, I guess, biggest gripe about people who have issues with like Facebook and Twitter and things like that, is there's some responsibility to the person there to not post that data as far as the user itself goes. So, I mean, I would say, you know, you're at some responsibility not posting data that's going to be used against you. Now, the things that I guess where I could see this go being taken used against you mostly is the logging live of the caches. But you know, if you really don't want to do it live, do what we were talking about with either the field notes or, you know, logging online later as opposed to live logging in the field. You know, that's why Groundspeak offers that option to do the field notes. And it wasn't up until recently that recently within the last year or so, that we've been able to live post officially with the Groundspeak app to write as a log. And so I guess as cachers, I think you have to have some responsibility. You know, I'm up on a soapbox here right now. I'm trying, you know, I'm putting myself out there when saying as you as a cacher has some responsibility to know and have, you know, do what you feel is right and take some, I guess, responsibility. Daryl, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm going to go back to that original question, start over again. Yes, I would like to see some more finite controls to privacy. However, I think there's a very real risk to that because we've seen this with Facebook, where Facebook has made public images and private messages and things like that, which people never expected, you know, purely by accident or, you know, technical glitch, whatever. So there's a very real privacy issue if people think they have privacy. So by eliminating the expectation of privacy, it makes it more likely that people are going to be a little bit more aware of what they're posting and not post any of that vulnerable information. So I do think that there's a benefit in saying, no, anything is going to be public. And if you don't want it to be seen, don't post it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that also, you know, and one of the other questions and points in here that Network Cacher put in his email is, how would limiting the visibility of all of the cache logs affect the social aspects of geocaching? And I think it really would. I mean, granted, geocaching is a wide game that you play. You know, depending on who you are, it's very, very, very different. You know, for one person, it's a game that they do by themselves, or someone else, it's a game that they do with a group of friends, or, you know, someone may really, really love the quality caches, or some may love, you know, the doing what the bad cop talked about in the question of the day, where you do 100 plus caches in a day. You know, it's all of how you want to play it. And I think that it really would affect the social aspect of it too, though. I mean, because you, at least, you know, I don't know, it kind of, it's really nice. And this is one thing I liked about caching, at least in the beginning, and I still do, is when I go in a cache and I find the log and I like looking at it, either online or physically in the log, it's, you know, when you do those meet and greets, then it's like, oh yeah, you know, you're Daryl W. Four and you're Geek Boy from Illinois and things like that. And I've seen your names in the logs, and like, yeah, we'd still have that, the physical logs, but I don't necessarily always go through all of the physical logs and read them. You know, I read a lot of the online logs, but not necessarily all the physical logs. And so for me, that would definitely cut down a lot of that social aspect of it. And, but, you know, I guess part of me also says that I can kind of see this coming from Groundspeak, because we've seen, you know, the friends aspect, which they've really not done a whole lot with so far. I mean, yeah, you can set friends caches that are your friends, but it really doesn't do a whole lot of good besides kind of actually like bookmarking their profile. So it's, you know, as far as like what good that does, it's, we haven't really seen anything. So it wouldn't really surprise me if they did this.
No. And well, I really want to keep the logs public. Even if we hide the names, I'd like to keep the logs public, because that does help. And if we do lose those names, yeah, I think it is going to hurt the social aspect, because you don't have that reference. However, I think you'll start to recognize some of the logs from some of the more interesting caches, even if they hide their names, because you'll get familiar with some of the comments that they might make. You can definitely tell from some of the writing styles, but a lot of the time we see logs and we'll know, oh, that's so-and-so's log, because they've mentioned that it's off by so many feet and only they have problems with their, you know, old, you know, Cobra GPS or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that, you know, I guess going back to the overall thing, you know, I guess I'm more for the whole, you be responsible for what you place. If you don't want the world reading something, don't put it out there. So I guess that's where I stand on this. But at the same time, I'm okay with them putting out some of these features, as long as it's not, hey, let's take away all of the logs so only the cache owner and cache hider can find the logs, things like that. You know, I'm okay with that. What are your guys' thoughts? Give us a call now, 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Or give us a call on our voicemail, and that number is 206-350-3GPS. This is a very good topic. And, you know, there's lots of, you know, there's people on both sides of the fence. And as you can see definitely here, I'm adamant about, you know, being very responsible and, you know, but not necessarily, you know, I guess as long as they're not providing that accurate location of where you're at right away. But, you know, it goes back to the same thing as people. It's interesting to me that people are complaining about this, but they're the same type of people or same people that may actually be also on Gowalla or Foursquare, things like that, the location-based games that you check into. You know, for me, it's like, it's just funny that some of the same people that are complaining may be the same people that are actually on these other games. You know, people complain about privacy, but then want to check in location-based games.
Well, again, though, I think that's where some of this is coming from, is Gowalla and Foursquare do have that privacy control that geocaching.com does not have, so that only your friends can see your updates.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, I guess it goes back to, you know, again, I'm okay with it if they do it. If not, you know, I'm sure I trust them with it. You know, not everyone trusts Groundspeak. And we've seen some interesting things coming from them. But, you know, I'm okay with whatever they decide to do. I'm sure it'll be okay in the long run.
Well, I really don't like the idea of hiding the logs themselves. That's an integral part of the game. But I think there is some value in giving us an option to hide parts of the log, so that you don't necessarily know who that person was that wrote it, or so that you can put some private information in. And that I would actually kind of like to see is maybe a separate field or something that's only available to the cache owner. Because if I'm logging, you know, a cache that has a wet log or something, or wet log isn't necessarily a good one, but if I have a cache where the container was cracked, I might want to email them directly rather than put it in my log. And if I could do that through the log, I'd prefer to do it that way, because then it's also attached to the log. So if Groundspeak needs to see it, it's there, you know, and it's tied to that cache. So, you know, that'd be a really nice one to have. But at the same time, now we've added more complexity to the logging process.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I don't think this is something that we can solve here in half an hour. It's been a great discussion, and I would love to hear you guys' thoughts and feelings on this. 206-350-3GPS is our phone number. Give us a call anytime, day or night. That's our voicemail. You know, and this also brings up a good point too. If you guys have suggestions for us to talk, you know, Network Cacher brought this up, and you know, if you guys have the same type of things, you can go ahead and visit our contact form on our website, geocachingpodcast.com, or call them in at 206-350-3GPS. Daryl, any parting thoughts here before we close this show?
Well, not really, but this is definitely one of those topics that you can go any which way on it. But I think it really does come down to responsibility of the cacher. Even if you do have the privacy like you do with Gowalla or Foursquare, you really have to be concerned, because we have seen some of these services that, for whatever reason, make that information that was supposed to be private public. So you really need to watch what you're posting up there. Assume that anything that you post can at some point in the future become public information.
Definitely. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week. We want to thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We want to thank Cache Advance for sponsoring this episode at cache-advance.com. Join us each Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the Talk Show service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. Our podcast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line anytime, day or night. The number is 206-350-3GPS. Have a safe week and happy caching.